Hi, this is David Sweet. And before we jump into today's episode, a quick heads up: on Wednesday, October 8th, we'll be presenting the results of the 2026 Japan Salary Survey at the French Chamber in Nihonbashi, and we'd love to see you there in person. We're going to be talking about what's driving hiring, retention, and change in Japan right now. We'll talk about compensation trends, shifting motivators, team restructuring, and even how AI is reshaping roles. If you lead people in Japan, this is going to be a great session for you to attend. Again, that's going to be Wednesday, October 8th from 9 to 11. We'll put a link in the show notes. And feel free to take a look at our newsletter as well, which will have information about how you can sign up, or go to the French Chamber's website and sign up for that on October 8th. Look forward to seeing you there. And now on to our podcast.
Finance is now changing, now having a really big change from the traditional bookkeeping function to the value driver function. It's a big transformation. So finance professionals need to develop the leadership to adapt to this kind of change or even to drive this kind of change. So developing leadership will be more and more important for FP&A professional.
Welcome to the Focus Core podcast, where we dive deep into leadership, talent, and the evolving world of business in Japan to help you focus on your core business. Today on the Focus Core podcast, we are joined by a truly dynamic leader in strategic finance and business transformation, Taisuke Yoshida. After graduating from the University of Tokyo, Taisuke began his career at Sumitomo Chemical, where he mastered the art of cost management and performance improvement at both the factory and division levels. Driven to expand his global perspective, he earned his MBA from Yaesu Business School in Spain. He then joined industrial growth platform IGPI, advising CEOs and investors on business due diligence, post-merger integration, and management control systems across multiple industries. Taisuke is currently at Schneider Electric as the East Asia Industrial Automation Business Finance Leader, partnering with business heads across the region to shape and execute strategies that improve performance and create enterprise value. Beyond the impressive credentials, Taisuke brings a passion for innovation, transformation, and building strong, diverse teams. And he also brings a contagious enthusiasm for finance. Taisuke, welcome to the Focus Core podcast.
Hi, David. Thank you very much for inviting me. I'm very excited to talk about FP&A and business partnering today.
Me
Thank you.
too.
Also, thank you very much for the great introduction.
Thank you. So, you are one of the most passionate FP&A people I know. What drew you into FP&A and business partnering in the first place?
Thank you for the question. So as you introduced, I started my career in Sumitomo Chemical as a finance role. So I very much like the finance role, but at the same time, I had a passion to make an impact on the business and the society. So I was interested in both finance and business. Actually, when I was a college student, I met many people who want to contribute to society, and I was very much inspired. So that's the origin of my passion, and that combination, combined passion of finance and business, led me to the FP&A career. And actually, when I was in MBA or business school, I forgot the exact time, but I remember I was reading the book written by Zenichiro Ishibashi-san, who is a famous evangelist and thought leader in Japan about, in the FP&A space. And I learned from his book and seminar about FP&A and business partnering. And that's how I knew FP&A business partnering. And I started to find the position of FP&A.
That's great. So, how did your time at Sumitomo and your experience abroad shape your leadership style and your thinking around finance?
Yes. So I want to talk so here about the leadership because I think the leadership is a development is a journey for everyone and for me as well. So in Sumitomo Chemical, I developed the leadership mainly in the operational level. What I did in Sumitomo Chemical was mainly about the cost reduction and profit improvement and inventory reduction, those initiative I led. So what I did is I set the goal and I collaborated with stakeholder, involved many stakeholders and create action plan together and monitor the progress, those kind of activities. So I acquired the leadership and the operational level. I learned how to maximize the potential and power of people. So that was Sumitomo Chemical. And after that, I went to ESA Business School and IGPI, which is a Japanese consulting firm. And those roles prepared me for the next level of the leadership. I acquired global mindset and comprehensive business understanding and also strategic thinking. Those are I learned in ESA and IGPI. And Schneider, I'm trying to bring my leadership to the next level. So it's a learning process. But mainly, I'm learning the leadership in the strategic level and leadership in multicultural environment. Those are not easy, so it is a taking a time. But leadership in strategic level is to influence the strategic decision, so it's more high level and it's more challenging for me. But I enjoy learning this, and also the leadership in multicultural environment. So as you introduced, I am in charge of East Asia. That includes around 10 countries in East Asia, Southeast Asia countries. So I have a chance with multicultural leaders and stakeholders. So I also, and this is the first time for me, this kind of opportunity. So I'm developing those kind of leadership right now.
So it's such a wonderful progression. You've gone from a domestic Japanese operational role into consulting, where you get to see different operations and different a variety of different customers that you were clients you were working with in different industries. Then moving that into Schneider, into a Gaishke. And now you're working across the region and looking at a Gaishke across the region and driving a strategy across the region. So it must be an exciting opportunity for you to kind of evolve that way.
Thank you very much. Yes, I'm very happy with my all the transition and the role that I am doing. But actually, yeah, that is a very important point because in Japan we don't have the FP&A and business partnering organization in most of companies actually. So I try to find that path by myself. So I learned finance in Sumitomo Chemical, and after that, I tried to learn business in different organizations, and now I get the capability of finance and business. But I think it would be great if Japan organization has a this kind of career path, which enable people to learn finance and business at the same time.
Talk more about that, because I think a lot of our listeners would be surprised to hear that there's not a FP&A path in Japanese companies. Talk more about what you mean by that.
Yes, I think we need another podcast to talk about the detail of the history and detail of the difference. But starting from the simple things, Japanese companies simply do not have the FP&A organization. That's very different from global companies. And FP&A function in Japan is kind of decentralized. So the function is located in business division, subsidiary, factory, everywhere and not concentrated. So what I felt in Japanese company is FP&A function is decentralized, so it has a limited influence to the business and the company, and also for FP&A professionals, it's a little bit difficult to develop their skills and careers. So, and global company is it's a contrast. It's very different. They have a formal FP&A organization. FP&A function is centralized, so the FP&A function has a very strong power in the organization, and professionals can develop their skills and career. So it's very different. And by experiencing both Japanese and global companies, I feel there's a lot of advantages that Japanese company learn from global companies. So that's one of the reasons I recently trying to expand this FP&A and business partnering concept in Japan. One of the reasons is what I feel the advantage in the global company's FP&A organization.
How, before we get too far down that rabbit hole, how do you define strategic finance business partnering?
Thank you for great question. I want to spend some time to share this strategic finance business partnering concept here, because I believe the core of the FP&A role is really this finance business partnering. So let me take some time. So for me, the definition of finance business partnering is to drive business performance together with business stakeholders by leveraging financial expertise. So that's a simple definition for me. And I think this word, finance business partnering, is well expressing its essence. So because finance, we are finance, right? We have a financial expertise and we leverage the expertise to contribute to the business. And the word business means we deliver value by impacting business. So we need to really understand the business. And so that is the business part. And partnering, this word is also very important because finance by ourselves cannot make an impact. We need to collaborate with the business team, the other stakeholders to deliver the value, to make an impact. So collaboration with other stakeholders is really the key. And by to do that, we need to build a very strong trust with stakeholders. So I think those words are very important to understand the core of the FP&A. And I also want to share some keywords because sometimes FP&A is mentioned as co-pilot, co-driver, and mini CFO. And I think those words are also very helpful to understand the role of FP&A. So co-pilot, co-driver gives us the impression the FP&A is working, sit together with a business leader and work together, really have the high ownership to drive the business. So yeah, those one was good. And also the mini CFO. So many people know CFO, Chief Financial Officer, right? And responsible for finance for the company. And FP&A has a similar role. FP&A is actually the Chief Financial Officer for the business. So we sometimes call it mini CFO. And I think those words are very useful to understand. And finally, coming to the strategic part. So I believe the strategic finance business partnering, strategic is a little bit high level, advanced level of the business partnering. That's my definition. That requires to build strong trust with business leaders and influence strategic decision making. And that is not easy sometimes because, of course, sometimes there's a conflict of opinion or disagreement between FP&A and business leaders, right? But FP&A need to sometimes persuade or influence the business leader's decision making. That is not easy. So this but impactful at the same time. So This strategic finance business partnering, it's high level, but I think this should be the place FP&A professionals need to aim for.
That's great. Yeah, I think that's one of the things we hear in when doing recruitment for FP&A is just around business partnering, and that's the key skill, even more so than everything else. It's just about really how to business partner. But what do you see as the biggest misconception about FP&A?
Yes, I think FP&A, this word itself is a little bit confusing because it stands for financial planning and analysis. It sounds very technical, right? So sometimes it's considered a technical role. But as I shared, the core of FP&A is really the business partnering to drive the performance and delivering value. So those are the core of FP&A. So it's not only technical, it requires a lot of soft skill, more like a comprehensive business skill is required. Of course, hard skill, technical skill is very important, but at the same time, the soft skill are very important as well.
So when you say soft skills, what do you think is lacking in those soft skills now, and what needs to be there for a quality, strategic business partner in FP&A?
Yes, if I try to express this soft skill, it is business understanding and communication skills, leadership, and building a trust with stakeholders. Those kind of skills are required. And so it's a lot, right? It's not easy. So normally, even in the global companies, relatively senior people become finance business partner. So it takes time to develop skill, but FP&A, it's a very exciting role, but it also requires a lot of skills, including hard skill and soft skills.
The understanding, like having that business acumen, is one of those things that it's just quite a challenge. And then, with a lot of the stakeholders we work with, being able to communicate globally and being able to give pushback, as you'd mentioned earlier, whether it's locally or internationally, that's always a challenge for Japanese people on occasion, and especially for younger, because we don't give that business acumen, for example, early on in a Japanese career in the 20s. It evolves and it takes a lot longer, especially within Japanese companies. Would you agree to that?
Yes, fully agree. As you mentioned, business acumen is a necessary part for FP&A to have a strong influence on the business, but it's not easy to learn about the business from the finance side, right? So it takes time, and we need to study theories, and also we need to spend most important thing is to take time to understand the business, attend the business meeting, and if we get the document or information, try to understand, search on the Google, or recently we can leverage the generative AI. I'm using the generative AI to understand the business world and business context. There are a lot of things to understand, right? The market, competitors, customers, products, there are all the components we need to learn and spend time for the learning.
Curious, what generative AI do you use that you find beneficial for FP&A professionals?
Yes, so I think there are so many use cases, possible use cases, right? But for me, I'm mainly using the generative AI to really understand the business. So we have the internal generative AI in my company. So I can use that to understand everything about the business. So for example, one example is if I do a business review with some specific country, there are a lot of things to learn, right? I need to learn about the country itself and also the business and all the environment. Then if I use generative AI, it helps me a lot to understand those contexts or some specific words that I don't know and technical words, everything. So I think generative AI is a really good tool for our understanding because we can ask questions many times, right? Until I have a full understanding. So I recommend all the FP&A professionals to use leverage the generative AI for our business understanding.
Okay. Any specific one in particular?
You mean the tool? Oh, okay, yeah. In part, so company, I'm using the company's one, right? But in my private life, I'm using ChatGPT,
Okay.
and recently ChatGPT 5 was released, and it becomes more, the answer is more clear, and I feel it's very useful.
That's great. I know, and I think we talked earlier also about Perplexity, it being a good tool for that. Some of our finance people that we speak to have been using as well. That it's very good with. It's got less personality than ChatGPT, but much stronger on the research and analytical functions, which is an interesting one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I will try to use that one as well.
How do you think, talking about transformation and expansion into Japanese companies, because I know that's something you're very passionate about. How can Japanese companies better leverage FP&A as a business partner, not just as a reporting function?
Yes, so as we discussed, Japanese companies and global companies are very different. Of course, there's an advantage and disadvantage, but based on my experience, I think it's better for Japanese companies to implement the FP&A organization. So my idea and recommendation is to formalize the FP&A organization in Japanese companies as well, and to empower FP&A professionals. A lot of effort is needed. For example, in the corporate level, the companies need to design the right organization, processes, systems, tools, data, and even culture to really empower FP&A professionals. And on the other hand, individual professionals need to make effort, right? People tend to spend a lot of time on routine work, but they need to spend more time to generate insights, influence decisions, and drive action. So a lot of change is needed.
So, what would be the first steps a Japanese firm can take if they wanted to build and expand their FP&A credit capability?
For me, first step will be starting to formalize the FP&A organization, define its missions, and change the mindset of the FP&A professionals. That should be the first step for me. But it sounds a little bit drastic for most of Japanese companies, I think. So here's one recommended book for me. This is a This is called Japanese version of FP&A, written by Chie Ikegawa-san, who is also an evangelist and thought leader in Japan's FP&A space. This book is about implementing the FP&A function in Japanese companies, and there are 13 cases in the book. So I think people who are interested in implementing FP&A function will have a lot of learnings from this book.
That's great. Yeah, we had Chie-san as a speaker for a Focus Core event last year, and she's just very insightful into, finance and FP&A as an evangelist. So she's very, very good.
Wow.
Foremost in Japan, I think, right?
Yeah.
What cultural and organizational challenges have you faced introducing, transformation in a Japanese setting?
Yes, so transformation generally, I think it is very challenging to drive transformation in traditional Japanese companies. There are, I think, multiple reasons, but the one observation from me is traditional Japanese companies are not used to making a change itself. On the other hand, I feel in global companies, the companies are always changing. It's always the organization, process, everything always changing. So changing is really the normal thing. But I think Japanese companies have grown in the relatively stable environment, so it didn't need to change a lot. So not used to making a change, that is one challenge, I think. And another challenge is about the people, especially management leaders, not so used to making a decision based on data, logic, and open discussions. So this nature make FP&A professionals a little bit challenging to make an impact on their decision making. So I think there needs to be some little bit different approach for Japanese companies. For example, really identify the key stakeholder, key influencer, and build a strong relationship and try to influence. So those kind of a little bit different approach will be needed to make an impact and drive transformation in Japanese traditional companies.
It's interesting. Well, and I'm listening to you speak, and I'm aware that you're watching over 10 different countries. What do you see the difference between the different countries and Japan and kind of the changes that you need to make?
Yes, it's interesting to see all the countries are very different. Transformation. So, of course, the Schneider Electric is driving the transformation as a whole company, right? So all the countries are there is an ongoing transformation, but the phase is very different, right? So, I can't just say they are so different, but yeah, I can see some important factors for the transformation. So one example is I think leadership is a very important. Transformation always requires a strong leadership, strong leaders, right? So I think if the company has a strong leader, the speed of the transformation will be faster, and it's also easier for financial FP&A professional to contribute to the transformation. And yeah, actually the FP&A is one of the leaders, so FP&A professional need to drive the transformation as well. But leaders are very important for transformation.
That's great. As a business partner, how do you build trust across functions?
Yes, so yeah, I already mentioned trust is very, very important for FP&A professionals. And there are a lot of ways to build that trust. But for me, I prefer a straightforward approach, meaning to understand the person, actively listen to their concerns, and help resolve their problems. In that way, yeah, if we solve their problem, they will be happy, of course, right? And they will make another request to us, then we can contribute again. in that repetitive process, the trust becomes stronger and the influence will be stronger. So I think it's important, just it's a very basic thing. I think listen to others and help them solve the problems. But this basic thing is very important to build a trust.
Yeah, getting the early wins for people is very helpful,
Exactly.
right?
Exactly.
Now, and you've worked in M&As, PMI, cost cutting and growth. What's been the most rewarding initiative that you've worked on?
Here, I want to share two cases, a little bit past one and the recent one. The past one is my experience in Japanese company. I led cost reduction and profit improvement project. And at the time, the business struggled with a low performance, and actually there was a risk of even being closed. But many people are working for that business, and everyone liked that business because the business had a long history, right? So we wanted to turn around the business. So we launched the cost reduction and profit improvement project, and we set a clear goal and involved many stakeholders, including sales, R&D, manufacturing, engineering, purchasing, all the possible stakeholders, and get them on board. And we worked together to create the action plan. So many action plan we created, and we monitor the progress. And finally, we achieved the $20 million profit improvement, and the business became profitable.
That's great.
That experience was really rewarding for me because I was able to deliver value, improve the performance together with all the stakeholders, and that made everyone happy, right? So that was really rewarding as a FP&A professional for me. And so that was one. And the other one I want to share is a more recent experience. I was newly assigned to the some specific business, and the business required a strategic revision. So we needed to renew the strategy. So it's about the strategy creation. And at the time, one of my colleague, commercial director, joined the business at the same time. And so I worked together with that person, and we did the interview to stakeholders to understand the business, and we did the financial and business analysis, and we created the strategy together. And also we are able to identify the opportunity for growth. So we created the business case and persuaded the business leaders in Japan and region and get approval for the investment. So this was very interesting for me because this is more like a strategic initiative. This required a comprehensive business understanding and more high-level communication and leadership, all those strategic skills. So yeah, that was another interesting experience. I enjoyed a lot about those projects and initiatives.
That's great. Thank you for sharing that. What one of the challenges that our hiring managers are always talking about is communication skills. How do you approach communication when presenting complex financial data to non-finance stakeholders?
Yes, communication is a challenge for finance professionals because we are always dealing with detailed numbers, data tables, right? But those are difficult for other stakeholders to understand. So for me, the important thing in communication is to understand the purpose of the communication because there are possible multiple purposes, right? Just sharing information or influencing others or drive action, those purposes are possible. So understanding the purpose and crystallize the message. I think that is the very key. Simplify and clarify the message that we want to deliver. So I think that's the most important thing. And additionally, I recommend to use a simple story framework. The framework I like is what, so what, and now what. It's very simple but very strong. So what, we explained what is happening and why it is happening, right? And next thing is so what. So we explain the implication of what, and now what is what we need to do moving forward. This is a simple but comprehensive and very strong framework that I want to recommend to use. And lastly, I also want to recommend to use a PowerPoint slide to clarify the message. If we try to write down in the PowerPoint slide, the message becomes more clear and crystallized. And I also use the Adyen software that is called SyncSell. The SyncSell is very common in consulting firms, but it's not so common in normal companies. But I think this is very strong software. It helps to create a very effective slide, effective chart. So we don't need to use complex data table, and we can visualize with SyncSell, and it will be much easier to communicate the financial implication with stakeholders and to make impact on decision making.
Well, that's great. I love the framework. I think, I've talked to a lot of CFOs who complain that being able to explain the numbers and to tell stories, be a storyteller. That's, I think, one of the things Chie-san said was the one key skill was being able to tell stories. And that's where generative AI can really, come into play as well, because you can put your framework into ChatGPT and say, use this framework. Here's some of the data. Help me create, the story and why it's important. And what are those implications, right?
Oh yeah, that's interesting.
And then, the stories you were talking about, especially the cost savings and, being able to work with commercial side. What have you learned about influencing senior stakeholders across cultures?
I think there are some important factors that I want to share. So I want to share three things here. The first one is a basic, but data and logic are very important and powerful for the communication, because this is common language across cultures, right? And for finance, we are professional dealing with data, so. Data and logic, those are very useful and important factors. And secondly, communication. It's important to do a concise and clear communication. And in Japanese culture, people normally do not do the direct communication, right? But in multicultural environment, it's important to be very clear. And for Japanese people, it sometimes requires courage or confidence, right? Those factors are a little bit difficult for Japanese people, including me. But I learned it's very important to have a courage and confidence to deliver the concise and clear message. That is the second point. And third point is I found it recently, and I think it is very interesting, but asking for support, simply asking for support for senior managers is very effective. Because I found in my company that most of senior managers, they want to support. They are trying to find the opportunity to support countries or to support business. So if we ask support, they will be happy to support. So a specific example is we can just explain where we are and what we want to do, and what is a gap and what support is needed. If we communicate these factors clearly, it will be very easy to get support from senior management.
I really like that. That's great. Yeah, asking for that support goes a long ways, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's simple but very strong.
Well, it's a great list. What are key skills young finance professionals should develop for, in your mind, for the next decade?
Yeah, so we talked a lot about the financial skill, business understanding, communication, building a trust. We talked a lot, but here I want to highlight 2 points. Leadership and digital skills. And the first one is the leadership. So finance is now changing, now having a really big change from the traditional bookkeeping function to the value driver function. It's a big transformation. So finance professionals need to develop the leadership to adapt to this kind of change or even to drive this kind of change. So developing leadership will be more and more important for FP&A professional. My recommendation is to start taking a leadership in the small project or a small initiative. Normally the finance professionals are very busy. I know it very well, but try to find some time for some small project or initiative to develop the leadership skills. So that is one. And the other one is digital skills. So we all know the digital technology is a lot of impact and will have a significant impact in the financial organization and processes as well. So all the professionals need to be familiar with digital technology and ready to use. Make use of them. So, yeah, example is I already shared, I'm using the generative AI to understand the business, but there are possible many use cases. It can be applied to automation to improve the efficiency, all those things, right? So there are a lot of potential possibility. So I also want to recommend young professional to use generative AI and digital technologies.
That's great. Good examples of what people should do. One other thing that when I'm working with professionals and doing coaching, and for young professionals and trying to help them develop, there's the axis where part of it's the technical skills that they learn, like the digital, understanding AI. But then the other is, like you said, the leadership and being able to go out and network and build up a strong network of people to work with throughout your career. And I think that's another key component that it's young people tend to overlook, especially in the technical side, where they fall into the technical, but they forget about the people aspect and the networking aspect, and that's just so vital for accelerating career growth, right?
Yeah, f fully agree, and thank you for pointing out that. Yeah, because the purpose of FP&A is really drive the business performance and create value, right? And I want to share the one concept that I like. This is called FP&A value chain. So this shows the process to create the value for FP&A, and of course, it starts from data, and there's a reporting. And analysis and insight and decisions and actions. So there are some types of framework, but what I know is this framework, and it's starting from the data and all the hard skills, right? Reporting analysis requires hard skill, but insights, decision, influence decisions, and drive action, those require the soft skill. So what I wanted to share here is it requires a comprehensive skill to create the value, not only hard skill, but also soft skill But as you pointed out, people tend to focus too much on hard skill part, technical skill. So it's very important. I want to stress as well to put effort on building a soft skill as well.
Moving into kind of your personal stuff, what do you, I mean, you've talked about CellSync that you use. Are there any other books or tools or habits that help you stay sharp?
Yeah, I like reading books to have inspiration. And my favorite author is Kenichi Omae. I think he's a famous strategic thinker from Makinzo, Japan. And yeah, his book is about he has a lot of books, but I like the book about the strategy. So I'm trying to learn something about the strategic thinking from his book. And also another favorite author is Tadashi Saegusa. He's a pioneer, I think pioneer of professional manager. And he's also a strategic manager, strategic leader. And he's also good at writing a story. So the book is very inspiring, but at the same time, it's really interesting to read. So I also read also it's I can recommend the books of Tadashi Saegusa. Also, I like to go to seminars to have inspiration as well. Recently, I went to the seminar hosted by Loglass. This is a also the famous startup company about management, performance management. But in the seminar, I hear the talk of Kazuo Hirai, who is a former CEO of Sony. He talked about the turnaround in Sony and how he worked together with CFO. And that was very insightful and inspiring for me. So I like those activities. And also I like to talk about FP&A in seminar or in the podcast. It's the first time for me to talk about the podcast, but I like to talk about FP&A and to have a discussion about it with people.
We get we'll put links to the books and seminars in the show notes. For seminars, where do you recommend, especially for young professionals, where do you recommend that they look in Japan for seminars?
I think there are a lot of seminars going on, actually. So I think the professionals can find a lot by searching about the keyword FP&A or business partner. Those are the keywords. But okay, one seminar I can recommend is a FP&A seminar hosted by Japan Association for CFO. Actually, I did a presentation recently, but I think this association, Japan Association for CFO, is putting a lot of effort to expand the FP&A concept. So there's a seminar is free, and we need to pay some for to watch archives, but there are around 20 archives for the seminar. So it's a great resource to learn about FP&A and business partnering concept. So I can recommend that Japan, the seminar in Japan Association for CFO.
Fantastic. And just to kind of finish up, and I know this is kind of one of your passions as well, for the Japanese companies listening to the podcast today, why is now the time to invest in FP&A?
Yes, I think now is a very good timing to start about FP&A. I think all the listeners are aware, but now there is a big expectation for Japanese companies from investors, not only domestic, but also overseas. And the government and Tokyo Stock Exchange also they are encouraging a lot companies to maximize their performance. So there is that kind of external environment right? So now it is very important to have strong finance organization that can drive the performance of the company. And another thing is a lot of companies are actually starting to be interested in implementing FP&A organization. In the book I mentioned, written by Chie Ikegawa-san, the Japanese version of FP&A, there are 13 cases already, right? And more, actually more companies are interested in introducing FP&A. So the company can get advice and support from those advanced cases. Or I think the Japan Association for CFO, they are very passionate to support those countries, the companies and individuals. So I think now is a really good timing for Japanese companies to start something about the FP&A. FP&A, yes.
Fantastic. Where can people connect with you to learn more about you and your work?
Yeah, please access to my LinkedIn, and always I welcome any messages because I'm also passionate to expand this FP&A and business partnering concept in Japan. So I want to support companies or individual professionals to be interested in FP&A. So please feel free to contact me in LinkedIn.
Great. Thank you, Taisuke. Well, it's always wonderful to speak with you about FP&A. You're always so enthusiastic, and you have so much insightful information and ideas. I appreciate that. Thank you for spending time with us today.
Thank you, David.